भवतु सहनौ
वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः सुष्ठुवागंसस्तनूभिः यशेम देवहितं यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति न पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरि ओम्। माय प्रणाम्स टू ऑल। सो इन दिस मुंडक उपनिषद वी आर इन दी थर्ड चैप्टर। लास्ट वीक वी हैड done the last mantra of the second chapter, which talks about where Brahman is. And they said Brahman is up, down, front, back, all sides, everywhere. And not only that, but the entire world is nothing but Brahman. Brahman alone is expressing as this world. And if everything is Brahman, then how can I be separate? So that Brahman I am. And then in mantras number 1 and 2, we talked about the two birds, Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakaya, Samanam Vriksham Parishasva Jate. So these two birds who are on the same tree, one is eating fruits and enjoying the fruits, but then also suffering when the fruits are bitter or sour, he complains. So he goes through joys and sorrows. And the other bird is just watching, you know. Abhichakashiti, he's just watching. And same way, you and I in this body, there are two entities. One is the ego, the bird that runs around from
Eating.
eating things here and there, getting this, getting that. When good things I get happy. And when I get things bad, not so conducive, I start crying. And that is our condition. We are that second bird, but there is the first bird who is the Atma, the consciousness, the Lord Ishvara within, that is always watching and does not participate, but just watches. So our sadhana should be, which bird do I identify with? If I identify with the ego and I run through the world, I will go through joys and sorrows, success and failure. But if I identify with the witness, that is the way to go beyond sorrow. And now he says, one who does that, he sees the glory of that other bird, that is Ishvara, that is the Lord. So now the next mantra talks about the glory of this Bhagwan, this Ishvara. And what happens to a person who realizes the truth, who experiences this the glory of this supreme Lord? Pallavi, you have that? It's chapter 3, section 1, mantra 3.
Yes.
313. Yada pashya pashyate rukmavarnam
Yada pashya pashyate rukmavarnam.
kartaramisham purusham brahmayonim
कर्तारमीशं पुरुषं ब्रह्मयोनिम्
तदा विद्वान् पुण्य पापे विधूय
तदा विद्वान् पुण्य पापे विधूय
निरञ्जनः परमं साम्यम् उपैति।
निरञ्जनः परमं साम्यम् उपैति
And mute, we'll all chant together. Yada
पश्यते
पश्यते रुक्मवर्णम्
रुक्मवर्णं
कर्तारमीशं
कर्तारमीशं पुरुषं
पुरुषं ब्रह्मयोनिं तदा
तदा
विद्वान्
विद्वान्
पुण्य पापे
पुण्यपापे विधूय
विधूय निरञ्जनः
निरञ्जनः
परमं
परमं
साम्यम्
साम्यम्
उपैति। सो नाउ यदा वेन हु पश्य पश्य इन भगवद गीता इज ऑफन यूज्ड एज अ वर्ब। पश्य मे पार्थ रूपाणि शतशोच सहस्रशः। भगवान सेज सी माई इन द 11th चैप्टर सी पश्य ओ पार्थ अर्जुन माई फॉर्म ऑफ हंड्रेड्स एंड थाउजेंड्स ऑफ डिफरेंट फॉर्म्स इन मी। बट हियर पश्य इज यूज एज अ नाउन एज अ सीयर वन हु सीज। पश्यते पश्यते इज द वर्ब। सो वेन द सीयर सीज रुक्मवर्णम दिस ब्रह्मन दैट इज ऑफ द नेचर ऑफ गोल्ड। सो चैतन्य ब्रिलियंट शाइनिंग। एंड हु इज दिस लॉर्ड? कर्तारम। ही इज द डूअर। दैट मीन्स ही इज द क्रिएटर ऑफ दिस होल वर्ल्ड एंटायर यूनिवर्स ऑल द 14 वर्ल्ड्स। ईशम ईशम मीन्स द लॉर्ड द रूलर। पुरुषम पुरुषम द पुरुष वी नो एज द सुप्रीम कॉन्शियसनेस वॉट वी talk about in Purusha Suktam. So that Purusha and Brahma Yonim, and he is the even the creator of Brahmaji. The creator is also created by Bhagwan, the Supreme Lord. And one who sees that, when he sees, we'll talk about what it meant, is meant by seeing. You cannot see Brahman, but how, what do they mean by Pashyate? So one who sees that, Tada Vidwan, that wise person, the intelligent wise person, Punya Pape Vidhuya, he goes beyond Punya and Papa both. We say Papa, we understand, but does he go beyond Punya also? Yes, we'll talk about that. And Niranjana, and he becomes taintless. He has no contamination. He becomes very pure. And Paramam Samyam Upaiti, and he reaches the supreme state of equipoise, equanimity. Upaiti, he reaches, he attains. So here we have seen the beautiful description of the qualities of Bhagwan, and who is of the nature of brilliant. Brilliance means like gold. So what it means is not shining, not that you see some light when you see Bhagwan. It means the consciousness, Chaitanya, which illumines everything. Illumines means gives life to everything. Animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, all beings are given light of consciousness or the life by that consciousness. And Kartaram, he is the creator of the 14 worlds. He is the Upadana Karana. He is not only the Upadana Karana, but he is also the efficient cause. So Nimit Karana, he is both. And the Karanam, and he is also the instrument. So he is the creator, he is the substance, and he is the instrument. And Purusham, he is the supreme abode, supreme lord. And when Pashyate, when he sees, what do we mean by sees? Sees means knows, knows as I am that. So knowing that. But you say here you are talking about Dvaita. You are saying the one bird and the second bird, and when he knows this Ishvara, when he. So is this Upanishad talking about Dvaita? They say no. There is no Dvaita in this Upanishad. At the body, mind, and intellect level, we may worship God as the creator and I am the humble servant. But when you go to the higher knowledge, then you realize there is only one. There cannot be two. If God is somewhere and I am somewhere, then there are two, then God is not infinite, because there is God is somewhere and I am somewhere else. Or the world is here and God is somewhere in Kailash or something, in Vaikuntha. So that understanding that there is only one, that is infinite, and there is no Dvaita. So knowing that is becoming that. That's why they say Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati. Knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. Becomes Brahman means we already are Brahman, but knower of Brahman comes to know I am Brahman, which is what the Upanishad is trying to teach us. And then such a person goes beyond Punya and Papa both, because he has gone beyond the body, mind, and intellect. He is all the time abiding in that state of supreme bliss. And Punya and Papa both are at the level of the body, mind, and intellect. At the level of the mind and intellect, that is where sin and merit and demerit. And that's why when we talk about the subtle body, the jiva going from one birth to another, carrying the Punya and Papa and all, that is as long as we are at the level of jiva. Once you have woken up to that supreme consciousness that you are, then you are beyond jivahood. You become one with that Ishvara. So he goes beyond Punya and Papa, Vidhuya. Completely he gives up. And Niranjana, he or she becomes stainless, becomes pure, uncontaminated. Paramam Samyam. Great supreme equanimity he reaches. I was going to talk a little bit about how to achieve equanimity. See, what are the things that disturb us? One is somebody near my own body, mind, intellect, I have some disturbance. Second is people around me, my family members. But a lot of times we get disturbed by something that is nothing connected with us. Why is in India this thing happening? Or why in Israel and there is so much killing, or why in Washington, Trump is doing this, this one, his parties are. So we get so upset and angry about these things, and we get our peace of mind disturbed. So why do we get our peace of mind disturbed, and how to overcome that? See, if something is happening to my body, okay, it's understood, but even that one should remain calm, we'll talk about. But something happening distant is not affecting me. Tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'll be the same thing. Why somebody is doing something? So we get disturbed even when something is not directly affecting me. So we should think, okay, is it affecting me? Then I should get disturbed. If it is not, why not? And then the second question I have to ask, why am I disturbed? Even it can be somebody near. I get disturbed because there is some weakness, some defect, some wrong understanding within me. Otherwise, nobody can disturb me unless I choose to get disturbed. So that is the second thing, that I should choose not to get disturbed. Then the third thing is, okay, these problems are happening, say, nationally or internationally. Look at the karma theory, that if the Americans elected this president, then that is their karma. So they will get the results. Or in the world, whether it is Muslims or Israel or everywhere, the law of karma is effective, that if somebody is suffering, if our country is suffering, it is because of our own karmas. So that is the law of karma. That is number three, how to get beyond this disturbance. Fourth is be a witness, watch. That is a little higher level, where I say, yes, these things are happening, but I am unaffected because I am the witness, I am the Sakshi, I am the. So that is the fourth. Be a witness. Fifth one is, it's not real. This we have heard so many times. This world is not real. It is a Maya. It is an illusion. It is a Natak. And I'm playing a role. So why am I affected by something which is unreal? Like in my dream, I get disturbed of some bad thing happening to me. I'm going through some problems. And then when I wake up, I realize, oh, this was a dream. It was just, not important. So same way, seeing the world as a dream, then again, the world will not affect you. And the highest is that is Bhagwan doing it. Bhagwan, not even the leaf can move without Bhagwan's doing. So whatever is happening, good or bad, it is he alone doing it. Actually, everything is good. You listen to Swami Aparajitananda ji, he says everything is perfect. So these five, six things, when you do, then things will not disturb you. One is, does it affect me directly? Secondly, if I am disturbed, why am I disturbed? Look within. There is some weakness, some problem in me that I get disturbed. Third is, whatever is happening is because of the karmas. Fourth is, be a witness. Watch it. Watch everything as a witness. Fifth is, it's not real. It is an illusion. It is just happening. There is no reality. The world is just a natak, just a play. And the sixth and the best one is, Bhagwan is doing it. Bhagwan, teri maya hai, teri leela hai. Bhagwan, you are doing it. I just play my part. So when you do these six things, you'll find that things will not bother you. I was doing a little research on that. What is this Samyam Upeti? Paramam Samyam. So I thought I'll share it with you. So that's what happens to this person who sees this Supreme Brahman as his own self. He alone is. Lata, you have the next one?
I do.
Prano Hesha
Prano yesha sarva bhutair vibhati.
Vijanan Vidwan Bhavate Nativadi.
Vijanan vidvan bhavate nativadi.
Atma Krida Atma Rati Kriyavan.
आत्मक्रीड आत्मरति क्रियावान
एष ब्रह्म विदां वरिष्ठः
एष ब्रह्म विदां वरिष्ठ
प्राणो
प्राणो
हेशयः
सर्वभूतैर्विभाति
सर्वभूतैर्विभाति विजानन्
विजानन
विद्वान्
विद्वान्
भवते
भवते
नातिवादी
नातिवादी
आत्मक्रीड
आत्मरति
आत्मरति
क्रियावान्
क्रियावान् एष ब्रह्म विदां
ब्रह्मविदां
वरिष्ठः
वरिष्ठः
सो What happens to this person? First, we heard about what is the nature of Brahman. Now he's going to tell us a little more about what happens to this man of wisdom. So prana. So when he sees prana, prana here does not mean the five pranas of the body, but that which is the enlivening principle. That's why in Kain Upanishad he says. Shrotrasya shrotram manaso manoyat vachoha vacham sahu pranasya pranah. So that which is the ear of the ear, the mind of the mind, and the prana of the pranas. So that Brahman, that consciousness,
Conscious.
Esha, this person, yaha sarvabhutaihi vibhati. He sees that functioning through all beings. Bhutai means all beings, all living beings. Vijanan, no, Janan means to know. Vijanan means he knows very well. He knows very well, not as some distant object, but as my own nature. And that's the only such a person can be called Vidwan, one who knows that. And Bhavate, and what, how does he become? He becomes Na Ativadi. Ativadi means one who talks too much. Na Ativadi means he doesn't talk much. He becomes silent. And then he says, and then this person, how does he live his life? Atma Krida, playing in the self, sporting in the self, self the Atma, Atma Rati, and he's delighted in the self. And he's Kriyavan, he works. Esha, so this individual is Brahma Vidam Varishta. He is the best among the knowers of Brahman. You say, but the knowers of Brahman, is there a gradation? There is a higher Brahman and lower Brahman. So we'll talk about that. So as we said, prana, he knows that which is the essence of everything, which is the illumining presence. And in all beings, in all beings. And we said vijanan means knowing as I myself. And how does this Vidwan live? He says he then has no interest. You know, things in the world do not fascinate him. If something comes to him, he may do it, but he has no desires, no longing. And then Naativadi is a very beautiful phrase, means he does not talk too much. He does not need to have the last word. See? See, like we, you know, when somebody sends a message,
That's up.
we have to add something. I have to be the last one. Even if the topic is over, there is no need, but we will add something unnecessary.
Chat.
Or it's like two children, you know, when they are fighting, the goal of each boy is that I should be the last one to hit him and run away. So we are like that, you know, we just have to talk, have to say, even when there is no reason or no need to talk. Gurudev calls it blabbering, you know, unnecessarily talking too much. What it means is he becomes silent. You know, he's silent. He doesn't feel the need to talk excessively. When he needs to speak something, he will speak. It's not that he practices monam 24/7, but what is essential, but otherwise, what happens to him? Otherwise, Atma Krida, Atma Rati. This is a beautiful phrase. What it means, Atma Krida means sporting in the self. Sporting in the self means when he's dealing with the world, he sees Bhagwan everywhere. So he's playing with the whole Bhagwan only outside. And Atma Rati means within himself, he sees God. So once you see God within, once you experience God's presence within, then it is easy to see God outside. So that's why they say, pehle aap pehchano re sadho, pehle aap pehchano, the scripture say, know thyself first, know who you are. Once you know out yourself, then you can see the Lord everywhere. And then he says, such a person, there is no need for him to do anything. Yastu atma rati vesyat, atma triptascha manava, Atman yeva cha santushtah, tasya karyam na vidyate. Bhagwan Shri Krishna says, one who revels in the self, who sees the self outside and inside both, then there is no need for this person to work. So what Gurudev is in his commentary later on, if you have not read, please read it. He comes very strongly on people who think that the man of wisdom should do nothing and just stay like a rock somewhere in the forest. No, he says that this person does not do egocentric activities. I, me, and my, the selfish activities he doesn't do. But according to Gurudev, all progress that we have made is because of this man of wisdom, not only spiritual progress. But the whole world is uplifted by their presence. He says it's not so much by scientists or by government officials or engineers. It is these men of wisdom who have given us the path. But there may be difference between the personalities. Somebody like Pujya Gurudev or Shankaracharya ji will just throughout their life spend traveling, you know, constantly teaching, working. But others like Raman Maharishi stayed in that one ashram in Tiruvannamalai, but thousands of people walked by him and his presence was a blessing to all. So depending on their nature, they may present differently, but does not mean one is superior to the other. When they are enlightened masters, they are one, even though he says Brahma Vidam Varishtha. He is the greatest among the knowers of Brahman. So they say, how can you say he is the greatest among the knowers of Brahman when Brahman is one and the knower is one? So it is that there are actually they are all one, but one connects with me. That's why we say Namami Chinmayam Devam Sadgurum Brahma Vidvaram. I prostrate to Swami Chinmayananda, who is the knower of Brahman and is the best among the knowers of Brahman. Does not mean he is superior to Tapovan Maharaj or Shankaracharya ji or Mirabai or Tukaram or Narsimha Mehta. They are all, and there is only one level, but one who I connect with, who I learn from, because our whole Chinmaya mission is running on the teachings of Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, and his students, how he has the whole structure of how the teaching is done, what teaching should be done, all that is his doing. So that's why Bhagwan also in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Aro Rukshor Mane Muner Yogam Karma Karanam Uchyate Yogarudasya Tasyaiva Shama Karyanam Uchyate Karyam Uchyate. So one who is on this path seeking, he may have to work. That's why they say do karma yoga to purify your mind, do some upasana, do some study, do some, on the path. That is karma karanam uchyate. But that's like when you are trying to climb on a horse, Bhagwan says you have to put effort. You have to struggle to get on the horse. Horse is moving, you jump on the horse. But once you are sitting on the horse, then you don't have to do anything. Then the horse is running. You just stay still. So same way Bhagwan says, when you are on the spiritual path, you have to do a lot of sadhanas. But ultimately, once you have become established in yoga, then shama, then control of the mind. And in that controlled mind, the person works out of compassion, out of love for all of us. So there is no gradation. They are all one. But some accomplishments may be physical, some may be mental, so they do different accomplishments based on their nature, but they are all one. That is the one alone is appearing. So one alone is appearing as many, and all these Mahatmas are all at the same level. That's why they say one should be very careful not criticizing Mahatmas, because you don't know what level they are or where they are. You and I are not able to understand. They say if you praise and serve a Mahatma, before realization, if this Mahatma has done some good karmas, you get those good karmas because he has no need for them. But if you criticize a Mahatma, then if that person has done some, before realization, some deeds which are not that good, you will get those also. So that's why they say be very careful about criticizing wise persons. So this is about the man of wisdom and about the nature of Brahman. Now there is another topic about truth, Satyam. So this Upanishad has given two mantras about Satyam. I don't know if I can do both, or I'll at least do one. Varshaben, you have this, number five. सत्येन लभ्यस्तपसा हेष आत्मा
सत्येन लभ्यस्तपसा हेष आत्मा
सम्यक् ज्ञानेन ब्रह्मचर्येण नित्यम्।
सम्यक् ज्ञानेन ब्रह्मचर्येण नित्यम्
अन्तःशरीरे ज्योतिर्मयो हि शुभ्रः
अन्तःशरीरे ज्योतिर्मयो हि शुभ्रो
यं पश्यन्ति यतयक्षीणदोषाः।
यं पश्यन्ति यतसक्षिणे दोषाः
टुगेदर सत्येन लभ्यस्तपसा हेष आत्मा सम्यक् ज्ञानेन ब्रह्मचर्येण नित्यम् अन्तःशरीरे ज्योतिर्मयो हि शुभ्रः यं पश्यन्ति यतयक्षीणदोषाः। इन् द थर्ड लाइन् द लास्ट् वर्ड् दो इट् इस् रिटन् शुभ्रो, बट् वेन् यु ब्रेक् इट् then it becomes Shubraha,
Shubraha.
because it's because of the Sandhi rule, Shubha becomes Shubro. So that is, but when we chant, if you're going to, if you are not going to break it, Shubro, then you do that. Otherwise, if you are breaking, then you have to call it Shubra. So Satyena, so by truth, see, truth is very, very important, has been emphasized. Gurudev says, Satyam, truthfulness, ahimsa, non-injury, and brahmacharya, self-control, are the three main cornerstones of Hinduism, of Sanatana Dharma. So truth is emphasized in the next two mantras. Labhyaha. So he esha atma. So this atma means this consciousness, Brahman. How is it obtained? One is by satya, truth. Second is tapasa. Tapasa means austerities. Second, so they are giving us what are the requirements: truth, austerity, samyak jnanena, with clear knowledge, clear understanding, and brahmacharyena, by brahmacharyam. Nityam. Now, see, nityam is very, very important. Nityam means always. So I should always be truthful, always do tapas, austerity, always seek knowledge, and always practice brahmacharyam. And we'll talk about what is brahmacharyam. We have talked before also, but again, we'll mention that. And nityam. So nityam applies to all four. Antasharire jyotirmaya. So this light of consciousness, that is Bhagwan, Atma, Om, is inside me, even though it is everywhere, but I experience the presence of God in me as consciousness, as illumining principle, Jyotirmaya, brilliant light. Again, light does not mean you see some shining light. You know, even previous mantras, a few mantras back, it was Jyotisham api tad jyotihi. It is the light of all lights, means everything is illumined by that consciousness. He means indeed. Shubraha means pure, and yam pashyanti, who sees them, who are those who can see this, who can reach it. So he says two more qualities, yataya, they have to put sincere effort, and kshina dosha, all their faults have to be become weakened, have to go away, destroyed. So these are the requirements for all of us. So we have to see where we fit in: truthfulness, austerity, knowledge, brahmacharya, practicing self-control, and yataya, putting effort and removing our impurities. So satyam, we have talked many times, but it is that where it is oneness between my thought, my speech, and my actions. If I think something and then say something else and do something else, that is asatyam. Then also another meaning is that when I'm convinced intellectually that this is the right thing to do, and I don't do it, I compromise on my values, that is also not practicing satyam. If I have heard from my guru or read in the scriptures and I don't practice it, then that is also untruth. And also satyam, for to practice satyam, they say reduce your desires, reduce your activities. Because when we are doing too much, when I want to acquire this, get that, we say, oh, I don't need for myself, I'm collecting for my children, you know, grandchildren, we keep saving. So then when you are trying to do acquire too much, then you might become untruthful. So they say reduce your desires, reduce your. About Satyam, there is a very beautiful story about Satya Kama Jabala. It's a little long story, but it's very, very useful. Some of you may have heard it. It comes in Chandogya Upanishad. So Satya Kama Jabala was a young boy, maybe 7, 8 years old. And he lived with his mother. And he said, I want to go to this ashram to study from this rishi. He had this desire to get spiritual knowledge. And he asked the mother, who is my father? Who was my father? Who is my father? Now, the mother had been serving many households. So she didn't know who the father was. You know, she had been involved with different men, you know, for that was her livelihood. And so she said, I don't know who your father is, but your name is Satyakam Jabala, because her name was Jabala. So that is your name. He says, what is my gotra? He says, I don't know what is your gotra. What is your? So he goes to the rishi and bows down and says, I want to get the spiritual knowledge from you, Bhagwan. So rishi says, what is your gotra, you know, for spiritual knowledge? He says, I don't know my gotra. I don't know who my father is, and my mother also doesn't know. I don't know. He could have lied and said, you know, this is my gotra, or this was, he just told the truth. So the rishi saw something in this young boy, you know, wisdom. So he says, that's okay. You have told the truth. I will accept you as my student. And so he accepts him, and this boy stays in the ashram for many years and studies, meditates. You know, he serves. There are a lot of students like him. So they clean the ashram and take care of the cows and cook and do everything what is required. And they get spiritual knowledge as they do. And when he becomes a young man, the rishi tells him that this is your final test. He says, what? He says, take these 400 cows who are old and sick, not healthy cows, take them to the forest and do not come back till the cows become 1,000. You know, cows and bulls. So take them 400 and do not come back till you become 1,000. Can you do it? He said, of course, I'll do it. Willingly, he accepted. He didn't say, oh, it's so difficult. When will they become? And other students were thinking, oh, this poor guy is going to be alone in the forest for we don't know how many years, from 400 to become 1,000, the cows to multiply. But he goes, he has no fear, nothing. And he goes and he takes care of the cows, make sure they get grass. They move from place to place in the forest. He protects them from wild animals. And then while they are grazing, when he has spare time, he meditates in silence. He just meditates and is in nature. You know, he's just practicing all that. And slowly the cows multiply, 400, 500, 600. Finally, he counts one day, full 1,000. He says, Ho gaya, my work is done. So I can now go back to my guru. So as he's starting, one of the bulls starts talking to him. And the bull says, O Satyakama, the world is a pair of opposites, light and dark, good and bad, right and wrong, you know, wisdom and ignorance. So the world is a mixture of those. So I implying that you have a choice. Which do you want to choose? Light or darkness, truth or untruth, good or bad. And of course, Satyakama was already, you know, very evolved, but he gets this message from him that these two are like two sides of a coin, you know, right and wrong, good and bad. And your question is, what do you choose? Then that night, as he's walking, it is going to take a few days. That night, they have stopped at some place and he lights a fire for that to keep himself warm. And from the fire, a voice comes. And he says, Satyakama, everything in this universe is energy flowing constantly. And we know that. Everything is actually energy, even though what we think as solid, this body, the solid is very, very small percentage. It is energy and space. Actual solid. Actually, there is no solidity, even though we think it is solid, table is solid. It is all energy and space. There is very little solid. So he said, everything is solid. The fire tells him. Next morning, as he is going, a beautiful swan comes. And the swan, she talks to him and says that your atma, your soul is moving eternally, unbound. So the third message he gets. And then, as he is almost back to the ashram, another bird comes and tells him, love and truth are the only important things in life. So four things. Everything is pair of opposites. Energy, everything is energy. And there is a soul within you that is eternally unbound, that is consciousness, that goes from birth to birth, from body to body. And fourth is truth and love should be practiced. So he gets these four messages and he goes to his guru and bows down. And the guru sees wisdom in his eyes, in his face. He says, Satyakama, you have learned everything that I could teach you. You don't need to study anymore. You are all done. So he releases him, lets him go, and Satyakama goes and himself becomes a great teacher. And he makes his own ashram where large number of hundreds of students come and study. And he composed the Jabala Upanishad, Satyakama Jabala Upanishad also. So the point is that because of truthfulness, he got all that he needed. So that's why they say Satyena Labhya. It is obtained by truth alone. And then he talks about tapasa, by tapas. Tapas means, we think tapas means standing on one leg in the, in the snow and rain and all that. Tapas means austerity, means continuously thinking of one thing. That is tapas. Continuous abiding in that truth. And tapas also means, yes, self-control. So like fasting some amount, but not torturing the body. But fasting and, self-control, all that helps, because the mind otherwise has a tendency, oh, I'm hungry. So the mind will say, let's go eat. You say, no, today is Ekadashi, I'm fasting. It's okay, theek hai, thoda kha lo. So you have to tell the mind at times to control it, but not to the point where it affects your health.
No.
So the fasting has to be done balanced and controlled fasting, not excessive. It's like a child, the child is running around and you tell the child no, and the child throws a tantrum, But you have to sometimes stay firm. Okay, no, tantrum. Because if you give in to the tantrum, next time the child will do more tantrum because he knows I can get away. So same way, the mind also will throw tantrum. So you have to tell that there is something called no, but it has to be done within reason. And also, tapasa should not interfere with shravanam. See, when I'm doing tapas, all these austerities, self-control, I should not become so weak that I'm not able to study, not able to go to classes, not able to go to the guru. So it has to be where it should. My main purpose of life is shravana, to listen to these scriptures. And then manana, nididhyasana, follow. But tapas should not interfere with my spiritual study, with my sadhana, with my knowledge. Then samyak jnanena, by clear knowledge, by clear understanding, spending time with the teacher and getting clear knowledge of the Upanishad, what the Upanishad is trying to teach. And then brahmacharya. So brahmacharya, we think of celibacy as not having contact with the opposite sex. Yeah, that is, for sannyasis, yes, that is very important. For a householder, it has to be done within limits, within, for procreation, not for overindulgence. And then there are three meanings of brahmacharya. I was listening to one commentary. One is living in self-control, celibacy. Second is brahmacharyam, going to the teacher for Brahma knowledge, brahmacharyam, to go to the teacher for this highest knowledge. And third is one who has got this knowledge, brahmani charati iti brahmacharyam, one who always revels in Brahman is brahmacharyam. So brahmacharyam has three meanings: self-control,
Different
going to
knowledge.
the teacher, and then staying with this knowledge. And then it has to be very clear what is my goal in life. Why am I living this life, this spirituality? Why am I pursuing? Gurudev says, Satya is the truth, is the path, and Satya is the goal. So truth is the path and truth is the goal. So the path is satyam and the goal is also satyam. For a sannyasi, he has to burn all bridges. He cannot return back because that is his 100% time should be spent. But for you and me also, as we get closer to, to retirement, and as we are, a lot of us are at that age, then most of our time should be spent in spiritual study and spiritual sadhana. And that is what, and it is says anta sharire. So you find that God, the consciousness within, again and again they are emphasizing. And yata yaha means one who puts sincere effort. Ascetics, Gurudev has translated, yatayah means one who puts constant, sincere effort upon this path, and all his abilities are directed towards this goal. So all my, that's why there's a tan, mana, dhana, everything, all my abilities should be put in that direction. Physically, I should put in effort. Mentally, I should study with the teacher, go with the teacher, and learn. And emotionally, I should love everyone. I should love God, love everybody, and then ultimately connect with this Atma within. And kshina doshaha. So doshaha are what are our negativities. See, we all know what are my negativities, what are my things that I am not doing correctly, not doing very well, or doing wrong. So the clear understanding of where I am going wrong, if I have any faults, if I get angry, or if I get selfish, or if I become, not sharing, not helping. So analyze your faults and careful. Not that you keep criticizing yourself, but understand what is it that I need to improve on, and where am I lacking in all of these, in any of these. If I am lacking in truthfulness, or in tapas austerity, or my knowledge is not clear, or I am not living a life of self-control. Self-control does not only mean sensual, but also control in diet. Control in diet, control in not talking too much. We had heard already, not running around and just wandering here and there, and so limiting all these. That's why Bhagwan, even in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Yuktahara viharasya Yukta Cheshtasya Karmasu Yukta Swapnavabodhasya Yogo Bhavati Dukkha. So Yukta Ahara. So my diet, not only physically eating, but what I am taking through my eyes, what kind of sight, how much time I'm spending on my phone, on the TV, on the computer. So limit that. Ahara. So all that. And also put in the right ideas, right thoughts in your mind. And then vihara, and then too much of traveling, wandering here and there, it has to be limited. Yuktahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Some people overwork, workaholics, day to night, every day they are working. Others do nothing. So one should be balanced, do work, but not to the point where all my life is only in work and nothing is in spiritual growth. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta swapna avabodhasya. So waking and sleep also should be moderate. Some people oversleep, till 9, 10, 11 o'clock. And some people don't sleep at all. They wake up at 3 o'clock, and I mean, if you're able to do that, but then what happens is that you are overdoing either way. So Bhagwan says, sleep in moderation, diet in moderation, activity in moderation. And when you do that, that yoga becomes dukkha, removes all your sorrows. So this is very important shloka, how one should practice this truthfulness, austerity, and nityam. That is very important. Constantly, I should do that. And then we heard about the glories of Bhagwan, the glories of Brahman. And what happens to this person who becomes one with that? How he enjoys life, he lives reveling in Brahman and sees God everywhere, inside and outside. Then this person has spontaneous love for all. There is no good or bad, there is no higher or lower, but he sees one everywhere, and such a person is the highest, Brahma Vidam Varishtha. And he again becomes equanimity, samyam. He practices living in equanimity, and he's always calm, he's always controlled, because he has become one with that Brahman, which is stainless, and he attains that supreme state of equipoise. That's what Gurudev says. So if we want to be remain peaceful and in equipoise, these are the things we should practice. Very, very practical mantras today. So please read Gurudev's commentary, and and he's very well written and very well explained. So, and then if you wish to listen again, you can go to First Power, where it is there. So if some things are not clear, we have a few minutes. Any questions or comments? We have 7, 8 minutes. Anybody would like to add anything, or
Anil, Ansa, I know I'm not on a video. You know, in the first thing you described six type of reaction to the bad thing happening outside in the world. you know, the way I look at it is because you, I know you are a witness to that action, and karma theory does work very, very efficiently, actually. But what I also see that if it happens in front of me and I can intervene, I cannot stop. I must do that.
Yes.
If I don't do that, I'm part of that bad action. So it really depends where it is happening, but
right.
Ultimately it should not disturb your mind.
Yes.
You can, your mind, if it's not disturbed, it helps you to find the solution for that problem.
Exactly.
So So I think we can't just be witness, but we need to be calm enough to understand whether I can help or not help. And not help, then don't worry about it. Let it be. Let,
right.
You know, God, somebody take care of it. Satyakama story, I read in Vedanta's, one of the Vivekananda's lecture. He describes very nicely. He says, He heard his bull telling him something, his trees telling him something, birds telling him something. He the way he explained is that it doesn't mean practically those things came and told him in a verb, in a language that we understand, but it is his thoughts by seeing them came in his own mind. So actually, it is not that animals talk or a tree talks. So, you know, we probably, so it's not somebody talking to him, but it is his own mind looking at this, interpreting and bringing out this knowledge. That is what how Vivekananda explains. I just wanted to make that thing. As far as tapas is concerned, you know, it's very interesting because tapas is actually trying to deny your mind, who wants to run after something and get attached to something and distract you from your concentration. It could be food, it could be music, it could be other person. So, but your mind has to be trained in such a way so that you focus on what you're doing and not get run after something. So, I mean, fasting is one of them because you're denying food to your mind, which it wants to be hungry and go out. But it should be constant in every action that we do in the life all the time.
Right.
So in other words, that would give us a concentration. So we're going to pursue the Brahma Vidya. So we need to have that in our mind, must not allow the other attractions or distractions disturb our mind during that time.
Yeah,
that's
these are good points. Thank you. Thank you for these points. Very good. Thanks. Anybody else? Any questions? Any comments? Kusum, you have something?
Yeah.
Yeah, this Satyakama story, you've said it very well. And I think in Upanishad, Ganga, I think it's episode 13 or something like beginning. It's very nicely done also. So if if any, it's only 30 minutes to watch. I think number 13, but I could be wrong. Just see Satyakama. And the second thing I want to say is this two bird story is so beautiful. And if you go to Vibhuti, anybody of us should go to that. There is
Museum.
there is a tree
Museum.
made by Guruji, has made all that little garden there, Swanubhuti Vatika. And in that, they have the tree made of the bird, the two birds sitting on it, and all the fruits. And it's very beautifully done, though, very nicely. So if you have a chance, just go and see that one. And the third thing I want to say is that you mentioned very well about samyak, the equipoise of the mind, how you train and how you that also is so very well given in, I think, Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, like samta, that equipoise is itself the yoga that you connect with God and realize. So I think those really made really good sense in today's lecture. So thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, the tree is the world is the world is a tree also. You know, in the 15th chapter, they say we had talked last week about it, that the Urdhva Moolam. So this world is a tree where the ego is there and then consciousness is both are there. But consciousness that in the world and there that is functioning, that is the source. So again, yeah. So that is. Anything else? Thank you for these comments. Anything else anybody has?
We'll continue next time from there.
Yes, again, next week onwards, again, the qualities of Brahman are again given.
Nature of.
What is the nature of Brahman? What is the, it's not qualities, Brahman is.
Yeah.
Without qualities, but what are the characteristics or the nature of Brahman that we will talk about, and we'll go on from there. There are some other good mantras also. How we can get this knowledge? Where is the obstruction? So we'll talk about that in the next few weeks. So we'll end. Thank you very much. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Dachyate पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ओं श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम्।